For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSU Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Today I'm going to be talking about the firing of Monty Williams and the the Sex Pistols in 1996 described as filthy lucre, how the NBA is awash in money, and how maybe things are not what they seem at all times when we talk about sports and how that affects our perception of these things. It's going to be an interesting kind of subject because it's kind of nebulous and I my thoughts kind of aren't that organized, but I'll try to put it in this typical Mortcast order. But first, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to the fights in UFC/MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. One-stop shop for your everything you need to do at Bet Online. And an example of that is that you can go over there and get 150 slots games. So it's not just sports betting. It's like all the other things that you would participate in gambling are there right at your fingertips at Bet Online. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind in one of their over 150 slots games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, all in caps, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, all in caps, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. When Monty Williams was fired, well, first of all, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised. Monty Williams did a terrible job. And in fact, I would say that the job that Monty Williams did as coach of the Detroit Pistons was subpar, and you could make an argument that Monty Williams coaching the last 2 years has been really bad, and he kind of wore out all he could probably do as someone, you know, as a coach in the 2021 or 22 Phoenix Suns run, I think it was 21, and then it was exposed when they were curb stomped by the Dallas Mavericks in 2022. Monty Williams was an okay coach. Everyone seems to like him except for DeAndre Ayton. This is not necessarily about Monty Williams, the coach. This is about the money. And the money that was thrown at Monty Williams to essentially come to Detroit. Troy Weaver is their former general manager. He is not there anymore. Trajan Langdon is. Many old heads will remember Trajan Langdon. But he was persuaded to come there with a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, $80 million offer or something along those lines. It was this insane money, amount of money for coaching for a six-year deal. And he was basically, it was a please come here deal. I think Monty Williams had no intention of coaching this last year, and he said so himself, and one thing led to another. He gets this enormous offer. He ends up going to Detroit. Now, and the irony of ironies, despite getting paid $65 million to not coach or do anything, from all the reports, it sounds like Monty Williams is actually very upset that he was fired and was looking forward to staying there in Detroit. All that aside, the massive offer that he got and the amount of money he got is very curious in a lot of different ways, because coaching is, and this, particularly the salaries you pay coaches, has gone up considerably. Where this doesn't reflect, like in the NFL, like in the NHL, and any other professional sports, is that doesn't reflect on the salary cap, because it's not considered part of basketball-related income. It's not split with players. So anything that comes from the coaching pot is separate, completely separate. I don't know what each team's income is and revenue is calculated differently. And I'll get to this in the second half when I talk about a certain anecdote about the players union auditing the Denver Nuggets about 10 years ago. But they're, since the coaches aren't paid in the same pie, from the same pie that players are, there is a, you really can't, there's no market to correct. There's no standard. There's no max salary for a coach. It's kind of like a general manager. There's no max salary for a general manager, and there's no floor. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, the Denver Nuggets were notoriously cheap when it, well, were and still are, notoriously cheap for spending on their front office. And when Workentine, Chapman, and Barrip were no longer part of the management picture in 2010, the Nuggets interviewed David Griffin very famously, and this is when Woj was still at Yahoo, and right after David Griffin was interviewed by the Nuggets, he went directly to Woj and complained about the offer that he got from the Nuggets. It was very low. In fact, it was historically low. I don't think anyone has ever been offered anything that close to something that as low as David Griffin was offered at that time. And therefore, Masai Ujiri was not making that much money by the time he left Denver in 2013. The Nuggets just were not paying that. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. When we talk about coaches and we talk about what the money that's thrown around, it really flies in the face of all this, of all the you know, if an owner will plead poverty, very, 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 very specifically, if a Tom Gores, who owns the Detroit Pistons, later ends up complaining about money, you can go back to this and say, listen, man, you just gave Monty Williams $80 million or 6 years in order to coach your team, and then you fired him with 5 years left on your deal, on his deal. And you owed him $65 million bucks, and you lit it on fire. You lit that on fire. And that sort of thing is something that I think we need to start really internalizing as just sports fans in general. Because we have a tendency as fans to look at the lens of sports through our own lives, when that really, not only is that not fair to us, but it's not fair to sports. Well, my friend Scott Hastings has said over and over and over again, sports is not real life. What you are seeing there is not in any way a reflection of anything else in society. Sports is different. And we can't make it the same. We say that there are people who always say, well, you're playing a kid's game, blah, blah, blah. At an elite level, you cannot play the game the way these guys can. Nor will you bring the attention that these people will. Nor will you do any of the things that make stars and elite NBA players what they are. So when we look at these sports from the angle of people who just live everyday lives, it's hard to comprehend getting $65 million to sit at home. Essentially, like I said, lighting your thing on fire. The contract you signed with Monty Williams is like, here are $65 million, go away. It's amazing. And it is fascinating to watch and see how people kind of don't overreact to coaches being fired like that. And for some reason, a player getting a certain amount of money, people rail against. It is fascinating to look at, and the way we look at money and the way we approach money. We all know on a just base level how different sports are and how different you can't compare your own life to it. Everyone knows this. Even people who make those comparisons online, you cannot compare your life to their lives. The circumstances are different. You know, a lot of these players retire before they're the age of 40. And think about that. Being retired before you turn 40. It is no other profession will you be doing that sort of thing. You can't take what happens in your life and apply it to anything else. And then you see what happens with Monty Williams. On the merits, Monty Williams probably deserved to be fired. He was a terrible coach last year, terrible, and has been for probably about 3 years now. But that is not the point. And when it comes to taking a match and just throwing on a pile of money, it kind of reframes the context here. Now, Tim Connelly left Denver for $8 million per year. It was $40 million. Or was it 5 years? And he, the Nuggets didn't come close to the same offer. Now, there was some dispute about the cold equity thing, as famously people remember. That didn't come to transpire. It was, and from what I've been able to determine, most people understand that thing was an idea that was floated and was discarded pretty early due to Taylor just basically in saying that no. And owners would not approve that sort of thing because they don't want to set the precedent that you'll be able to co-own a team with them. It is something that is, they like the accountability to lay with the front office and not have to be spread amongst ownership. It's a very hairy kind of thing, and it would be hard to fire someone who has equity. It's a long thing. But anyway, Tim Connelly left for $8 million a year. Nuggets didn't even come close to that in their counter. And you look at this sort of thing and you think, okay, he left for that much. But that's the market. And it's the market set from a different pie that is what the players are getting given. And then you think of how easily these things come to pass and how frequently front office people are fired. And you think about how much the salaries have risen for front office people and coaches. And then you start to wonder, at least I do, the NBA is awash in money. There are very few poor owners in the NBA. I believe the Buss family is among the last of the really poor ownership, family-owned. Dr. Buss never really had the kind of capital in order to run a team, but made it, right? But there you won't find many Pat Bowlens in the NBA. You won't find any more Pat Bowlens in the NFL. It is a wash in filthy lucre. It is just silly monopoly money, and it should make you think about the way you talk about the NBA and the way we all talk about the NBA, and then maybe for all involved, there shouldn't be any woe is me going on. They were able to light the Detroit Pistons of all teams was able to light $65 million on fire because their owner is filthy rich. And that should make you think about that. All right, in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to be talking about our own owners, give a little history of the Denver Nuggets, and how that kind of things sort of changed about 2016. And we'll be getting to that right after the break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Denver Nuggets were, there was a report that came out, I forget who wrote it, about the Nuggets being looked into by the players' union about, oh, I don't know, 2015, 2016. I don't know what came of that, but there was a provision in the CBAs that your eight, you know, unions were able, the union specifically was able to select few teams and audit them if they suspected them of not being truthful about BRI or what they, their revenue and reporting it and stuff like that, which affects the oscillating 39 to 51% of the BRI that you get as if you're in a part of the players union. So there, this thing happened and it was reported on, and then nothing further publicly came of that. But the Denver Nuggets have always been one of those teams that skirted on the edge of profitability based on the overall team success. The Denver Nuggets of 2024 bear no relationship to the Nuggets of even 2013. This Nuggets team and where they are, who they are, due to Nikola Jokic, who should get, I mean, there should be, forget, in front of Ball Arena, you know, Nikola Jokic should get a statue in front of the Kroenke residence in Texas or California due to what he has done specifically for the Denver Nuggets, which has raised the profitability and the team valuation of the Denver Nuggets infinitely larger than it was before. The Nuggets are not where they were because of Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is the Denver Nuggets and their financial prospects and well-being. That's the power of stars in the NBA. You know, the Nuggets' ownership history has always been terrible, going back to their inception. Bill Ringsby, who first owned the team and named him the Nuggets after his trucking company, the Rocket Lines, I think is what it was called. And then, you know, going through a series of owners and then having to be bought by a consortium of Carl Shearer's friends, basically, in 1974. And they were always on the verge of some sort of bankruptcy until Red McCombs bought them in 1982. And 82, McCombs ran them for 3 years after owning the Spurs. Sold them again to his friend Sidney Schlenker. Sidney Schlenker bought them in 85, and in 85, Schlenker was like, yeah, what I'm going to do is make improvements to McNichols Arena and then sell the team. Then he sold them, and everyone knows about the Bynum and Lee and Comset ownership of the Denver Nuggets. And then they were sold by Ascent, which was the divested portion of the Nuggets Avalanche and at then Pepsi Center that was divested. And then put in that portion was sold to Stan Kroenke in 2000 for like 400 and something million. And combined, I believe the Avalanche and the Nuggets and Ball Arena are several billions now in worth between the three of the properties. But it's silly money. It's ridiculous money. And Stan Kroenke is the first billionaire to own the Denver Nuggets. You know, Consett was a multi-million-dollar corporation that specialized in satellite media for hotels specifically. But they were not wealthy. And that played out over the years. And when certain decisions were not able to be made because they were not wealthy. The Nuggets have been owned by an extremely wealthy man since 2000. We're going on 25 years now of ownership of the Denver Nuggets by Stan Kroenke. And so you look at the financial landscape of these things, and then it makes you wonder, particularly after the Monty Williams firing, why they have tended to be so cheap on the front office end and the coaching end. Michael Malone's salary is still not known publicly. And he wasn't given a tremendously long extension when he extended. And it's still not known. Owners don't like having the other ends of their business related to their teams exposed. They do not. It brings up hairy subjects. It calls into question other decisions they've made. Owners don't like that. They don't like that sort of thing facing scrutiny. And what the firing of Monty Williams does and owing him $65 million for doing nothing is what it brings up is, okay, what's the rest of your financial landscape look like? And how will this reflect any sort of reflection on when there's a big CBA negotiation? You know, NBA owners just kind of step in it a lot. They kind of leave themselves, and I would say not even just NBA owners, NFL owners do this all the time. Arrogance. It's the arrogance of money. And the money that has gone around with things that are not related to the on-court things is fascinating. And it's one that I do think, I mean, what I've been trying to do on this podcast, specifically with me talking about business-related stuff over the years, is trying to get people to understand that the business side of the leagues matter. You know, it's hard to pay attention to, and it's hard to really consider it to be important because it's not something that affects what you see with play on the court, okay? Sometimes it does, and you'll be seeing this with the Minnesota Timberwolves this next year, is that as this ownership chaos keeps getting worse, it'll directly reflect the on-court product, because we saw this in Denver in 1997 to 2000, when the Nuggets had like four different owners. Then this sort of product and the way things are, businesses are conducted, can't help but be reflected in other aspects of an owner's business. And this is why I always tell you guys to pay attention to these things. Business matters. The Monty Williams firing is more of a symptom of how good the NBA is right now and how many wealthy owners are part of the league. And I think if you think about this back in even the 70s, it was a lot of local businessman owns team kind of thing. And the NBA had to spend years and years and years and years basically cycling out owners who could not afford to own teams. And now it's a different situation. It's a different scenario. You have a Golden State Warriors team that has lived in the second apron of the tax for years and years, and has probably propped up a bunch of small market teams by themselves due to the money that they've had to put into the revenue sharing due to paying the tax. And that sort of thing would not have been conceivable even back in the 90s when Jordan, when he arguably the late 90s was the peak of the NBA, when at their absolute apex, and none of that would have ever been conceivable. Economics has changed so much since then. And you look at Monty Williams, and then you also look at Adrian Griffin being fired less than 2-3 months into his tenure as Bucks coach, and then Doc Rivers is hired for a boatload of money. He reset the market too. That's a lot of money, folks. And it was given without much thought. You know? We aren't in a completely different era of the NBA. And it's going to get even more cartoonishly exaggerated when expansion happens, because the expansion fees that the NBA will be getting will be incredible. Incredible. And that is money that the league does not have to split with the players. Any expansion fee is not split with the players. That goes directly to the owners. It is going to be insane. The NBA is not the same place that it was even during the last years of the Stern era, where the league forced the players into a lockout and they forced the players to give up 6.5 to 8.5 percentage points of their BRI. And massive transfer of wealth happened in 2011 when that lockout went on. So this is a different league. This is a league, despite the ratings problems, but despite ESPN's problems, this is a league awash in money and filthy lucre. And I am fascinated at how this just doesn't get any sort of look at or any sort of like side eye view. It's baked in and it's considered to be ridiculously good that the league is just full of billionaires who throw money on the ground and light it on fire because they didn't like Monty Williams coaching or Adrian Griffin's. You know, I'm not against money. I'm not anything like that. I wish I made money, you know. This is about how the NBA, the league, is in a completely different place. It's become a clown car of money. And we kind of don't even think about it. We don't even bat an eye. When the owner of the Pistons has the financial wherewithal to fire a coach with $65 million left on his contract, we got to sit up and take notice. And we got to notice this because this league ain't the same as it used to be. I mean, famously, Stan Kroenke refuses to fire a coach unless he has 1 year left on his deal. He hates paying coaches not to coach. And that was something that probably will never happen with the Denver Nuggets, but as long as Stan Kroenke's the owner. But I'm sure other owners are looking at what Tom Gores did with the Pistons, and they're like, what are you doing, dude? We don't want people to know this. We don't want people to be thinking, oh, this guy's a billionaire. He can just do this if he wants to do it. That's amazing. Same thing with Matt Ishbia, but he's a no other kettle of fish, as the British would say. All right, well, thank you all for this kind of a rumination on the NBA and the money involved, and I hope you all enjoyed it. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast. I'm going to be back on Monday with another episode. Goodbye.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.